Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Backpacking Podcast. As always, John Kelly here with Jeremiah Stringer, the king of Kentucky backpacking, and the man whose coif of hair has gotten ever more impressive as the weeks have gone on.
Dude, it's grown out on top of my head. My beard, dude.
Yeah, my dude. Beard.
The growth is real, baby.
And we got a real beard happening again. Is this like, are you getting ready for dad life? Is that what this is? So like, you're growing out the hair, growing out the beard. You're kind of getting like all Duck Dynasty on us here.
Yeah, take a peek at the beard here.
That's looking good, man. That's looking thick. Good.
I'm thinking, I don't know. I don't know. I may just let them both go. You know, it saved me $24 a month not cutting my hair. That's been
I'm telling you, man. It's cheaper when you don't do it. Okay, I got to throw this out here. We have a listener on here that maybe you've been on here before, but we have not noticed your name pop up before. And I just got to say, this guy's name is Pork Roll Adventures.
Pork Rolls Adventures. So is Pork Rolls a trail name?
I guess, man. That's an awesome name, Pork Rolls. Like, we were trying to decide while the countdown was going, is Pork Roll like a Chinese or a Japanese food?
Yeah, what is that? I did just have Japanese. I had Go Panda yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah, I had sushi last week while I was in Florida, which was nice.
Oh, yeah. How was Florida, by the way?
It was 80 degrees out.
Well, it wasn't that much colder here in Kentucky, honestly.
But it was colder.
Oh, yeah. Did you go for a swim? A little dip?
Not really so much. I was in Orlando, so it's like, you know.
Okay. Yeah, you're landlocked in Orlando. Yeah, but I do love Orlando.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. Pork Rolls Adventure. It's a trail name.
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll That's have awesome. To get some. Give us a little bit more on that. Give us the skinny on the pork roll.
We're going to need the deets on that one.
Yeah, so, call me.
Okay, so Jeremiah, we have a sponsorship tonight. And it's a sponsorship that some people should know by now because they are our number one sponsors, and that is our good friends over at Outdoor Beards. Jeremiah, while I was in Florida all week, I brought my Outdoor Beards beard oil with me, and every morning I freshened up this lovely facial hair every single morning.
Guess how many drops of beard oil I use every day?
You got to tell me how many.
11. It was 10.
Count them. 10,
I can't. I do. Drip, 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 drip. I hold my hand like a good way. I drip 11 times and then rub my hands together and put that all through my beard. It keeps my skin from drying out under your beard. Dude, there's nothing worse than like flaky dry skin.
Oh, yeah.
Beard dander. Well, that doesn't happen with Outdoor Beards, and it's keeping me from getting any split ends. Yeah, I'm using the Grandpa's Pipe Steel, that beard oil.
Oh, yeah. I'm still using the Morning Brew because I love that chocolate coffee smell, man. There's something about that for me.
They're both delicious, and if anybody wants to check out OutdoorBeards.com and have a luscious beard like myself or John, they have a bunch of different flavors. Just don't eat them. Use them on your face. And
although they aren't toxic, if you did eat them, you probably wouldn't get sick, but they're not really food.
Yeah. It might get diarrhea. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if they want us talking about diarrhea in their ad, but thank you to outdoorbeards.com. If you want to check them out and save some money, use our code backpacking at checking, and you can get 10% off.
There we go. Thank you to Outdoor Beards. And Jeremiah, we just got the definition of Pork Roll's name. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, hit me with it.
He bought a 3-pound log of pork roll for 4 people on a trip. They started calling him Pork Roll. So what is pork roll? Like,
yeah, I'm going to have to give this a quick goog.
I don't even know what pork roll is. That's just pork crazy. Roll? I don't even know what it is, man. I want to find out what pork roll is. Look it up. We'll find it here in a little bit and we'll talk about it. Jeremiah, tonight we're going to kind of hit a topic that may shock some people because we are known as hammockers, right? We like hammock camping, but we both have done our fair share of tent camping as well. And so tonight, at least while we can stay on topic, we're going to talk a little bit about some tents. And there was one tent in particular that you wanted us to bring up tonight. I'm going to pull this up so people can see it. That is the Duplex Light Tent by Z-Pax.
Yeah, this, can you zoom in a little bit on there? Will your screen let you do that?
Not so much, I don't think. I'd have to grab a different mouse, but let me see if I can pull it off.
Okay, I want to talk about this a little bit while you do that. So I was scrolling through Facebook, as one does, and, you know, my algorithm, I don't know why, but for some reason, it has a lot of backpacking and hiking products. And as I was scrolling through there, I seen some long bearded guy that popped up and it said Duplex Light 14.9 ounces. And I said, hold on a second. What is this? Yeah. I did notice they did not put a zipper on the Rainfly. What's that about? They're just trying to save weight.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there are some people that don't like the zipper on the Duplex.
Well, I would love to try it. So if whoever doesn't like it wants to trade me, then I have a lightly used Duplex XL.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
I am. I don't know why we're not able to see ourselves, but we're not. How about that one? That's a new one. Let's see if we can come back and see ourselves again here. Jeremiah, there we go.
Oh, there's David Gray spot from last week.
I guess that's what that is. That is crazy, man. Anyways.
Great. But yeah, anyway, on that tent, I didn't look too much into it because I thought that maybe we could unpack it. But on the podcast, then I think I have a button for that. Oh, wait, that's the wrong button.
Oh, man, that was the perfect one.
That was the wrong button.
That was the perfect button. Absolutely the perfect button.
Appropriate, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very appropriate. That's for sure. That's for sure. So, Jeremiah, let's talk about some tents that I've used, because I'm a big fan of tents. Oddly enough, I wasn't, and this last year I started using tents, and I became a fan of tents again. And it's sad. I know. I still prefer a hammock, but I have found that I like other tents, and one of those tents that I like is the X-Mid Pro 2 here, as you can see. I love this tent. I've got this tent. I've actually used it several times now. I'll show you a picture here. That is out at the Red River Gorge. That is above Indian Staircase. Wide open area. If you've got wide open spaces, this is a fantastic tent to pitch. But there's a problem, Jeremiah. My problem is when I hit campsites like this, where there's about 6 or 7 inches like on every side of the tent where I can't go any further. And you can see probably the back end of this thing, how it's like all wrinkled.
Yeah, what happened?
That was about as good as I could get it in the spot that I had. This thing has a huge footprint. And so when you get in these smaller areas, you can see here, this had a little bit more room here, but still, there's not a ton of room in this campsite. So you can see the back end is still a little bit wonky. But it works, I guess. So, I mean, there's that. But here's my question for you, Jeremiah. Of all the tents that you've used, what tent is your favorite right now?
You know, I don't even think they probably make it anymore, but I have to say the Palace. North Face. It's not really called the Palace. That's just a slang term that we use to describe it because it is a palace, but, it's the North Face Tri-Arch 3.
And that's your favorite. That's your favorite tent.
Yeah, I never use it solo, ever.
Well, no.
But
Unless you have me go backpacking with you and you pack my pack and then you send that and a Lunar Solo in my backpack.
Now, the Lunar Solo I sold, and I really like that tent too. I wish it was just a little bit longer, because if it was a heavy dew night or there's a lot of condensation, then it would get my head and feet wet, because I'm 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", depending on the day.
You grow like 2 inches per day.
Well, I try.
In 3 weeks, you know.
I tell everybody I'm 5'8" whenever I, you know. How tall are you?
You're 5'8".
That's what I say. They say, that's
actually, I actually am 5'8". It's funny, that's when you and I get together, we're a perfect 10. You know, you're the one and I'm the round zero part, so.
You're too funny, my friend.
Okay, so let's get back to this tent for a second, because we're talking about these two tents. Let's go back to the duplex real quick here.
Yeah, what's the price tag on the duplex? Duplex light.
The duplex light. The price tag on this one is a robust. Let me see if I can get over here so we can look at it here. It is a robust $669 US.
Okay,
but that right there is insane.
The 14.9, if it gives you everything that the duplex gives you, then I don't see why they wouldn't discontinue the duplex.
I think the reason being, and I could be wrong on this, let's take a look at this thing. I believe it's a lighter Dyneema, like a thinner Dyneema.
Uh-huh.
I bet you it's more fragile. Mm. Like, if anybody's in the comments and they know whether or not that's the case, let us know. And right now I can't even see the comments, but I think my guess is, Jeremiah, that that's going to be the case with this. I think it's probably one of those things where, I'm guessing that it's like that. I'm guessing it's really, really thin fabric.
I have the duplex, what it's made of, if you want. And if you click on that, if you're on their website, if you scroll down where it says features, specifications, constructions, materials, you click on materials, we can compare apples to apples here. This says it's 0.55 ounce per square yard standard Dyneema composite fabric, and that's for the duplex, according to zpacks.com's website. Tensile strength, 63 pounds. I wonder, and 1.8 pounds for the puncture strength. I've never dived this deep into a tent in my entire life, not until this moment.
Really? I just figured, yeah. You being the all-time YouTuber that you are, you would have done that by now.
Well, I'll be honest, man. Usually I just buy it and I don't really weigh my pack. I just suffer and see. I don't want to know.
You are definitely not, you are not somebody who worries about weight when you go backpacking.
Well, it depends on the trip. Okay. Yeah. I got the construction on this one. They use fully enclosed 0.67 ounce per square yard insect screen. Bathtub floor is made of 0.75 ounce per square yard of Dyneema composite fabric. So that's the floor. Oh, they have everything different materials. So it's 0.55 ounce for the outside of the tent.
Yeah, that's what it's saying on here, like Neil. I like the fact that, Neil, your name on here is Neil. That's just beyond awesome. He says the 0.55 is the light stuff that fails. And he said Skirka's entire crew, let me see if I can pull this up here. Skirka's entire crew got wiped out using 0.5.
Well, were they using the duplex or are they using a different tent?
Well, they're using that fabric, that weight of fabric, I think is what he's pointing out. So in other words, that fabric is pretty fragile, it looks like.
Well, that's what it says that the regular tent is made out of, is 0.55 ounce. That's for like the top part, the blue part. And then the duplex light, I see the bathtub floor, I see the insect screen, but I don't see what the regular part is made of.
Interesting. Let me see if I can find that real quick.
Yeah, I'm looking on their construction part. 1.3 millimeter Dyneema Z-line cordage. That doesn't help me any. Maybe it's top secret. Maybe they don't want you to know because this is proprietary.
You could be right, Jeremiah. You could be right.
I doubt it. I'd say they just haven't updated it.
Okay, materials. Let me see what we got here. Made with Dyneema fiber. Now, that's saying it's 0.55 standard Dyneema composite fabric.
Yeah, this is literally the exact same as the duplex. So what's how are they shedding weight if it's the same material?
Like the
if
you scroll floor down, is 0.75 Dyneema composite.
But the floor is 0.75 on both of them. Wait a second. 0.67 ounce nano insect netting versus the other. It's the same 0.67 ounce.
So where's the weight coming off? They're doing witchcraft.
Oh, wait, John. Wait just a second.
Oh, what?
First of all, 1.0 ounce square yard tent floor versus on the light version, 0.75 ounce. So that's a quarter of an ounce per square yard.
Or square yard.
And Neil says that, I just saw it.
Is it this one right here?
Width different. Oh, Nick. It was Nick.
Nick.
Nick Ramble said the width is different. Is that true?
Oh, the width is different. Nick Rambles.
So they used
that really your last name, Nick, or is that what you do?
They could call me Jeremiah Rambles.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Or so, John.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So only it says the floor. It says the floor and the width is different.
Wait a second. I'm not going to fit in this tent, John.
There's no chance. You're way too big.
I'm not gonna fit.
It's made for people my height.
Yeah, normal. Normal is, I think, the word that you're looking for.
I would go with short, but we'll stick with normal. I like normal. You're making me feel better about myself. That's awful nice of you.
No, I think that they're right on the dimensions, man. I think that this is a normal person size tent. Floor width is 40 inches versus 45. They used a thinner material. It took us a minute, but we're drawing some conclusions here. Floor length, 2.3 meters. That's the same. 2.6 square meters area versus 2.3. So you're losing. I mean, it's a more narrow tent.
Yeah. Well, check this out. Shane Wolf says, just take canvas and eat salads for a few weeks before. Problem solved.
Hey, that's true.
That's great. Okay, so I want to get some comments in here. So we had some great comments coming through here. First off, a pork roll is a breakfast meat, sometimes referred erroneously to as Taylor ham. Legally, it had to be changed to pork roll.
So
now you know what pork roll is.
Yeah, processed meat.
It's processed meat, yeah. And somebody put up it's like the Northeast version of Spam or something like that. So
I looked it up on Wikipedia, and it looks... It looks like Spam, but it looks like it comes in a bag.
Nice, nice. Duplex versus Durston is the showdown of the century. Interesting.
Oh, I didn't even think about doing those as a showdown. Which one is better,
the showdown or the
Durston?
Well, you know, you have a duplex. I have a Durston. We may have to go on a camping trip and figure this one out.
Yeah, you're going to be really comfortable in mine. Is yours long enough for me to sleep?
Oh, yeah. Mine's plenty long enough for you to sleep in.
I don't know, John. The last time I tried to sleep in your tent, it was like a doghouse.
Well, that was the evil tent that I don't even like. So it makes sense.
You going to name drop them?
Oh, totally. It's the Big Agnes Fly Creek. I hate that tent. I actually talked about that a couple weeks ago on the Backpacking and Blisters podcast.
Yeah, what'd you say?
That I hate that tent. And I found out, this is interesting. This is interesting. Carl Mandrioli from their podcast said he listened to our podcast when we talked about that like 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever it was. And he said he realized that he hated his tent too because of that dog door.
Dude, why are you out here spreading the negativity, making people hate their tents?
I'm not making them hate their tents. I'm opening their eyes that there's something better.
Oh, look, you're lifting the veil.
Dude, if all you've ever eaten is Kroger brand Cheerios and you've never had the real thing.
Yeah.
Unless somebody opens your eyes to the fact there's something better out there, you're always going to eat Kroger brand Cheerios.
Yeah.
When the real thing is so much better.
You know, it does say they may lower cholesterol. I don't know if you, I don't think I believe that, but that's what it says.
But it's heart healthy, right? Is that what they say?
I don't know. Cheerios.
So, okay, so here's Jeff Peter says, I don't know about a light tent from Duplex. seems like it can puncture even easier. Well, Jeff, apparently it's not lighter fabric. It's just smaller.
No, no. The floor is a lighter fabric. It's 0.75 versus 1.0 ounce.
But the rest of it's the same, right?
I know, but, you know, to make up for those savings in weight, you can bring a ground sheet.
That's true. But then you're adding weight, correct?
Yeah, it totally negates the whole make it a light version. You got to bring extra equipment.
Yeah, pretty much. Then we got Zach Miller, who he said that my backlight is giving him Sith vibes. Oh, even though I'm wearing a Jedi hat.
Yeah.
Just want to point that out. That.
Big time Star Wars fan here. I don't know.
I am a big time Star Wars fan. I don't even pretend it anymore. I used to hide it, but I just decided I'm going to own it now.
Yeah, so, you can't be a closet Star Wars fan. You got to just own it.
You got to love it. Okay, so Chris Zaccone says, dude, you need the skinny pitch.
Oh, what's the skinny pitch?
I don't know, but look at this. Neil said the exact same thing. Look up the skinny pitch.
Oh, you know what? I bet that you've been doing the wide pitch and your tent's not fitting.
Maybe it's just a big tent. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? We do have a super chat though, man, from our good friend Derwin Off the Rails. He says, little bone to pick. Jeremiah and Papaw Jason both wised out on us at the gorge this weekend. A little rain and they don't show.
Oh, yes. You want me to address this?
You probably should address that real quick before we go any further.
Okay. First of all, Derwin Off the Rails, thanks for the $10 super chat. That would have paid for my kids to go meet you. So I'm just joking. But sincerely, thank you.
He said not wised out, wussed out.
Oh, maybe, okay.
He said, or maybe it was wise.
Well, I think wised out was the proper vernacular there because, you know, I looked and I thought about this. And him and some other guys were headed to the gorge this weekend, and there's a few of us going to meet up. And I said, dude, first of all, I have plans Friday night. And so I couldn't go. I already had prior commitments. So I was like, I can go Saturday and maybe get in a day hike. So I said, let me check the weather for Saturday. And thank God I did. 90% chance of thunderstorms. And I said, what? I can't go. I just can't do it. So, you know, I stayed home.
Not on purpose, anyways.
No, that was an act of God. But I stayed home and watched my UK Wildcats beat up on the Tennessee Volunteers. Go Cats! Locked in.
I would hold off on saying beat up on.
Well,
I mean, they almost let go of the game at the end there.
A win is a win, man. It's hard to
watch the game though. So,
yeah, they should have won by 10. Seriously.
Yeah, they should have.
Should have won by 10, but. Freshmen make freshman decisions. So sorry about that. I will meet back up with you guys. I promise. I saw a comment on here from Daniel as I was scrolling through and he said, hey, Mr. Stringer, one of your old students, do you remember me? Of course I remember you. I just saw you like 8 months ago.
For the Republic.
Yeah, I hope everything's going well for you, Daniel. He was a former student of mine. I think he had transferred for his senior year, if I'm remembering correctly. But hello out there, and thanks for watching. It's awesome for you.
I think we have the greatest comment ever. Shane Wolf says that Kroger Cheerios are made from pork roll.
Healthy for the heart.
Real healthy. And the cholesterol. Okay, Chris Zaccone, here we go. We were talking about that skinny pitch thing.
Yeah.
Skinny is a way to shrink the pitch of the massive Durston footprint. Basically collapses the vestibules.
So just don't set out the vestibules and that's it?
Well, the way it sets up the vestibules just kind of, you know, you don't really have to do much with the vestibules if you don't want to. You can set the tent up with just four poles or with four posts or stakes.
Okay. And two trekking poles?
Two trekking poles, four stakes. Yep.
I see. Yeah, you'll have to look up a video or something. Or maybe you're going to be the one making the video on the skinny pitch. Who knows?
I think Chris should because I don't really make a lot of videos these days.
Well, maybe Chris can make it and then you can watch it.
I will watch Chris's video and I will comment on it. Oh, look at this, man. Jeremiah is slowly transforming into Chris Hemsworth, so a little thunder is no problem to Thor.
Oh, well, thanks. Maybe in the Guardians of the Galaxy, whenever he's fat Thor, that could be me. Because I'll never look like fit Thor. That guy is massive and ripped.
Shane Wolf.
Not another
manifestation is a real thing. Eat all the pork roll and just tell yourself it's Cheerios.
Mind over matter.
Okay, let's get back to this. Let's get back to this tent for a second.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about these two tents. So let's go back to let's start off with the duplex here.
Okay.
So this is 14.9 ounces. Uh-huh. So literally just like we looked at it earlier here, 14.9 ounces. Which is insanely light. It's less than a pound.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, 16 ounces a pound. That's less than a pound. Now, is that weight including steaks and everything?
I doubt it. You know, usually there's like a trail weight, and then there's like a least amount of weight possible.
Okay, so the weight, 14.9 ounces, it looks like. And then an additional 0.58 ounces.
For what?
For two spare zipper sliders, DCF repair tape, and DCF stuff sack. And this is 8 steaks are required, but not included.
Oh, they got you on the steaks, didn't they? But you know,
that's a lot of steaks, man.
Well, I don't think it'll actually take 8. I mean, if you think about how the duplex is set up, it's got the 4 corners and the 2 vestibules. The other two are just to hold the head and the foot a little farther out. They started putting these little, like, it's like a little piece of a tent pole on either side where the head and the foot of your tent is. Yeah, can you see the pull out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would need, mine is a duplex L, so it's got like little tent poles that go on the side. I guess they didn't do it on this because it's a light version. But the pullouts on the head and the foot end are the reason you have to have the 2 extra to make it 8 total instead of 6.
Well, now, let me ask you this, 6. Since you're tall, wouldn't you want those there?
Well, since I'm tall, there's no way I'd buy this tent. So even with the head and the foot pulled out, like I used this tent on the long trail and I slept in it one time. And then, you know, I have my duplex L, which I've slept in multiple times, but like we've already talked about, it's longer.
Yeah.
But I would have to have the pullouts, but you can always make tent stakes too if you want, you know, just some sticks.
Yeah, I'd rather have the actual, like, tent stakes.
Well, I would too. I'm just saying, you know, the people that are buying this are probably pretty ultra lighters. You know what I mean? Like, they do, like, we talked about my buddy on the last episode, my buddy Greer, how he was doing part of the PCT. He was out there for like 3 months. We had him on the podcast. I don't know if you remember talking to him.
But, yep, I remember him.
He only used leaves to wipe his bum on the PCT because he didn't want to carry the weight of toilet paper. Mm. And then he was messaging me on the AT. So that's the kind of person that's buying this, I think.
Yeah.
So
now, you should fit, Jeremiah.
Well, that's what it says. But the problem with those tents is, it's the head end and the foot end on the tent is not perpendicular to the ground. It's like a very steep pitch.
Yeah, know, I think that may be where the Durston actually comes out on top in this argument.
Yeah, you need vertical walls if you're going to be tall because the floor is wide.
Let's swing over here to the Durston for a second.
See what Durston?
Let's take a look here.
It's how much is
this one? Right up here is $654.
Oh, that's a savings.
$654. Now this one without all the extras, if we're weighing it like Z-Pax is weighing theirs, this thing weighs I think 17 something ounces. Uh-huh. Let's go down here and find some specs while we're at it. First off, here's the view of it. As you can see how this thing pitches.
Oh, look at the geometry.
Yeah. It's because of the angle, and you see how big these vestibules are on either side. So both sides have really big vestibules, which is nice. Real nice. And you can fit 2 25-inch pads in here, but it's tight. I will tell you that. So Anyways, let's go down here to the specs. The specs on this one, 17.9 ounces. 17.9 ounces. And then they give you the typical setup. So typical setup for the DCF floor, which is right here, is 21 ounces. And for the Sil Nylon, it's 23.1.
And that's with stakes.
That's stakes. That's six stakes, the sack, and the tent.
Okay, so 21
ounces together.
I wonder what the duplex light is with stakes and stuff.
I don't know, but it needs a lot more stakes than the Durston does.
Well, technically, it needs the exact number of stakes.
It needs eight.
I know that's what they say, John, but come on. We're facts are optional here.
Well, listen, man, if you want to play that game, the Durston only needs four.
Oh, there we go. That so is a staking.
I'm just saying. It's like you don't have to stake out the doorway.
Amen, brother. We're ultralight.
I'm telling you, man. I'm cutting straps off my backpack, and I'm cutting all the tags off my underwear. Let's go.
Cut that toothbrush in half. No toilet paper. There's one
no
thing.
Toilet paper. Now, one of the things that kind of sets this. Let me go back to this diagram of the tent real quick. So, okay. One of the things that sets this tent apart a little bit, something's a little different, is you've got these two red areas on either side. That's where your trekking poles go, so they're offset. And because of that, the walls, especially the end walls, are highly vertical. And so depending on how you set up, a lot of people, what they'll say the best idea to do is to set up head to foot when you set up your sleeping pads for two people. Because if you do that, the person who has their head up in this area, which is if you're listening right now and you're looking at the tent from above, if your head is on the left side of the tent, you're going to have a more vertical wall, so you'll have a little more room to sit up in the tent. And then if you flip the other pad the other way, then it's the same thing. So you'll have higher walls on either side, which is really nice. And it does have a lot of headroom.
Does that mean you have to have somebody's feet in your face on that?
Well, I mean, it'll be in a sleeping bag or a quilt, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it'll probably trap the smell.
I think you'd be all right. I think you'll live. I mean, let's be honest, you're with backpackers anyways. No backpackers smell good.
And if you're flying solo in that thing, you could lay diagonally.
And that's honestly what I do.
Yeah, that gives you a vertical wall at the head and feet. This is hard to describe for the people that are just, you know, listening and not being able to see the images. But
well, and an interesting thing about this tent, Jeremiah, is this idea is not unique to Durston. A lot of people think Durston came up with this offset trekking pole idea, but he didn't. That would be this tent right here, the Stratospire by Tarp Tent.
Who is this person that does the tarp tents? Who's this mystery person?
I don't know, but they are the first ones. If you can look at this video that's coming across for people who are listening, it's kind of the same concept. It seems like it may have a little bit smaller footprint. I could be wrong on that, but you can see on here, man, it gives tons of room inside this tent. I mean, you can see how the doors are and everything. You've got this offset area. So you've got two different doors that have a lot of space to get out of, and you don't have to worry about a pole being down in front of them. I always think that's the biggest frustration with the duplex, is that your trekking pole is right there in front of your door.
Yeah, so then it splits the space into the two smallest spaces that you could possibly have to get in on either side, because it's right in the middle.
It is. It is. So this idea, it's funny. A lot of people don't know this, but I think it was Steven from My Life Outdoors who actually posted a video just like a week ago, and he was talking about the fact that Dan Durston actually did a review on that tent, on the Stratospire, before he built the Durston Gear tent. So before the X-Mid came out, I think he probably got some inspiration from the Stratospire to try that offset trekking pole design.
Well, from all the tarp tents that I've had my hands on, which is two, I thought that they were very good.
Yeah, they're heavy, though, in comparison.
Well, they're not made of Dyneema, right?
Some of them are. Like, that one is made of Dyneema. But let me bring it back up here so you can see it. This one's made of Dyneema, but the weight on this one, let's see if we can pull this over here where you can see it. Yeah, here we go. Let me see if we can, if it'll zoom in over here. Maybe it won't because I want to. What is that?
I don't know. It's a cool picture.
I hit specs and it went to that. I think they're trying to rip us off, Jeremiah.
I don't know. It's hard for me to see it. The writing's so small.
All I know is I believe that the Stratospire is like 30 ounces. I could be wrong, but I believe that it's 30 ounces. If there's anybody out there listening to this, if they can fill us in and let us know, but I'm pretty sure. Here we go. Okay. Actually, is that it right there? The Stratospire 2? Okay, this is the non-Dyneema one, and it's 43.8 ounces.
Yeah, that's so heavy.
That's heavy.
That's heavy.
But if you're doing the Stratospire, I guess it's the LI. This one right here. Let's see if it takes us to another website again. Nope. Okay, good. It will not zoom in, though. There we go. 30.35 ounces.
Still pretty heavy compared to the tents we've been talking about.
That is true. That is so true. And they have a breakdown of everything here. That's everything. That's the stakes, the stake bag. That's the fly, the mesh interior, with the Dyneema floor. All that stuff is included in this. So you can see how much it all weighs.
Yeah, they're not trying to be deceptive on the weight, are they? They're like,
no,
this
they're
is
not.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah, it's nice to see a company just be completely transparent. But this is probably the tent that was the inspiration for the Durston X-Mid. But he just took it, lightened it up. This is actually more of a double wall tent compared to the Durston and the Duplex. So that's probably why it weighs so much more. But still, I mean, 30.35 is under 2 pounds.
Dude, the aerial shot that they have on those tents looks so cool.
Oh, I know. Let's see if we can bring it back up here.
Just the geometry of all that material sewn together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look.
Oh, there's music. But anyways, so that's the tarp tent. I think that's kind of the inspiration. But then there's the copycats. Can we talk about the copycats for a second?
Oh, what's the copycats? Is this made in China stuff?
No, actually, they're good companies that make good tents, but they're definitely, I would say, kind of copycat tents of the Duplex.
I could
be wrong. They may have come out first. I don't know, but I want to talk about the two by Gossamer Gear. I have this tent, and I think my picture of this tent is a better idea of what it looks like in real life, so I'll bring that up real quick, but that's the two right there. That's up at Linville Gorge. But you can see, I mean, it looks a lot like the Duplex, doesn't it?
Looks a lot like the Duplex. Yeah.
Yeah. Except it has one thing that's in its favor. Let me show you this right here. Let me pull,
looks like it's still poly.
It is still poly, but because of that, you have this little fact right here. It's $320.
Well, that still may break the bank for some people, but $320 is a lot less than the $699 for the Duplex or the $669 for the Light or the $654 for the X-Mid.
Yeah, and the weight on this, check this out. Let me zoom this up so you can see it. 23.5 pounds.
Pounds?
Ounces. If it was 23 pounds, nobody's taking this. That's like a family tent. But 23.5 ounces. And that's factory taped and seamed and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty good, man.
Yeah, that's not bad there.
Just for a few extra ounces, that's not bad at all. And I can tell you, the only thing I don't like about this tent, the only thing that makes me nervous about this tent, and I've actually told Gossamer Gear about this because it happened to me, the tent floor is fragile. Like super fragile. I would never take this tent out without a footprint.
Yeah, or at least some kind of Tyvek or something.
Yeah, because it's I got one, and the floor was sliced when I received it.
Probably happened in shipping.
Probably. So it's a great tent, though. I mean, as far as just like its ease of setup, and the way it looks here, I mean, that's, let's see if we can bring this up so you can see it. You can see all the room on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of room on the inside. You got those nice pockets down here. It's got good ventilation on either side. Great tent. I've taken it on several trips. It's not my favorite tent, but I mean, for the price, $320, that's pretty dang good.
Yeah, as long as it'll get you out in the woods. I mean, that's the most important thing.
Yeah. Now, while this one's fragile, and this one I get nervous about because of the thinness of the fabric, Outdoor Vitals came out with this thing called the Fortius. Have you seen this before?
I think I've seen it, but never in person.
Yeah, I've got the one and the two of this one. And let me show you what this... Okay, so this is their picture of it. Let me zoom in on it so you can see it really well. That's their picture of it.
Uh-huh.
And if you think you can't pitch it like a picture, that's my pitch of it.
It's like you looked at the product online and then said, let me take the exact picture.
Yeah, I said, let me look at the product online, hold my beer. That's what I said.
Who's Big Agnes in the background?
That's my buddy Sean. That's his Tiger Wall. So interesting story. And the reason I bring up the Fortius, the thing about the Fortius that's amazing is it is a fortress. Now, it is heavier. Okay, this is not as light as the other tents. But I will say, as far as like durability and to be able to handle the ability to be able to handle a beating, I took this thing out in a storm and not a drop of rain got inside. Sean over here, the rain came in and blew right up underneath his tent and got all inside of here on his, all inside of his vestibule.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, but this tent, I mean, it's easy to pitch. I mean, obviously, I mean, look at that. That looks like that, you know? So it's easy to pitch, and man, this thing is, I'm telling you, it's a tank. It can handle so much. The weight on this one is 2 pounds, 2.5 ounces. So it's what, 35 ounces?
Right? It should be 16 would be 32 plus 2.5 more. Yeah, about 35, a little less.
And that includes all the cords, 8 stakes, and the stuff sack. That's everything.
Oh, they're being real with you.
They're being real. And it comes in at a really reasonable price. Of all of these, it's the least expensive. Let's see if we can bring it up here so you can see. $275.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So, I mean, if you're looking for something that's verging on the ultralight, I'd probably go more really lightweight than I would say ultralight, but you want something that's not horribly expensive. But this thing will take a beating, man. It can handle wind. It can handle everything.
If you get the membership price, it's $247.
Yeah, the Live Ultralight membership, which I actually am a member of. So,
Jeff Peters asked in the comments, speaking about tents, what about a new freestanding tent? What would you pick?
As far as a new freestanding tent?
Yeah, about everything we talked about has been non-freestanding.
You know, it's interesting to ask that because I don't really have any freestanding tents right now. I have some older ones, but I don't have anything that's come out lately.
Yeah, let us know in the comments what you all would pick because I'm more of a non-freestanding myself just because it shaves weight. And after you pitch it a few times, I mean, you can do it pretty much as quick as you can a freestanding.
Yes.
Maybe not weather or something, but.
And the... our good friend, the alter ego of Darwin on the trail, Darwin Off the Rails, says, watched a video from As the Crow Flies and loved the Lightheart Firefly. The rounded insert that you use with the poles is intriguing, and it's only $315. So that may be one we look at. So far, he's given us $15, so now both of us can go backpacking. That's awful nice of him.
Pay for your gas.
Pay for our gas, man. Although I don't know if that'd actually pay for our gas, the way gas is right now. So
yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Here's an interesting comment. Alex 222 said Z-Pack's offset duo seems X-Mid inspired. Yeah, I would agree with that because it's kind of the same concept, except that I think the poles are still across from each other, but they're set back in a different, instead of being right down the middle, they're back a little bit so that the door isn't in front, or the pole isn't in front of the door.
It feels like there's only so much you can do with the tents, you know? So even if you're not copycatting, I mean, they're kind of, a lot of them are similar.
Yeah, I would say so. So Jeremiah, let's talk a little bit about,
I wanted to look at
where you can pitch a tent.
Yeah. I wanted to look at this picture. I think I uploaded it to our drive. This, I screenshotted from Facebook. Again, I was scrolling through Facebook and it the caption says March 9, 2022. Thought we picked a good spot before the rain. Not so much laugh face, laugh face, laugh face. And you want to describe the picture for everybody that's just listening?
Yeah, we're seeing a couple Nemo tents in here. It's a firefly, and I can't think of what the other one's called off the top of my head, but they are both in a very shallow lake right now.
Have you ever?
It looks like a great campsite, but man, look at all the water. Oh, dude, man.
They are just in a pool, both tents. So you got to imagine, you get to your campsite, you're like, oh, this is great. This is a nice flat area. Let's stop here. There's firewood. Look at all that firewood in the picture.
Oh, I know. I know they got a great spot.
Yeah, that's fantastic. It's all flat, plenty of space to set up your tent, no widow makers. And then you wake up the next morning and your sleeping pad is floating in your tent because that water settles in the pools of the flat area. Has this ever happened to you?
Funny story. I don't know if Atod is on here right now. But
I saw him earlier.
I met up with Jeremy and some kids from I think it was his church or something. We got together and we were gonna camp out and everything, and we got to our campsite and we were sitting there, we were eating that amazing chili sauce that Atod makes, you know, the Coney sauce that he makes. And I mean, yeah, I literally just took a plate of it and used Doritos and just scooped it and ate it. Best thing ever. Anyways, so we're sitting there and he looks at his phone and he goes, guys, there is a storm right back there. And he points behind himself. Yeah. And we look off in the distance and you can visibly see the rain coming towards us and you can hear it. And so we all just take off running for our campsites. And so I get in my hammock. Everybody gets in their tents. They get in their hammocks, all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden, boom, the storm hits. Well, in the middle of the night, there had been so much rain that a river ran through the middle of one of the tents. Soaked everything on the inside. Soaked everything. Those guys ended up sleeping in a car that night. Because it was so bad.
It's miserable, man.
Yeah,
I'll give you one similar. We were at the gorge and didn't know where we were going to camp. And I was with Bridget. This was awful, man. I should have done this to Bridget. We should have just left. But it was me, her, and the couple that we did the Foothills Trail with, Kristen and Kevin. So if anybody wants to see, I actually posted the video on my YouTube. We were at Red River Gorge. And, dude, it come pouring the rain. And we had to cross the river before you get to the suspension bridge along the way.
Oh yeah.
And we camped at a campsite on the other side of it. And there was so much disaster, dude. We tried to send Bridget's backpack across on a zip line so that, you know, she wasn't wearing it whenever she was crossing, and it got stuck in the middle of the river, just like the portage. We tried to zip it across, tie it in one tree, tie it in another, and just slide it across.
And it just kind of settled in the middle.
Well, the thing was, is it was shock cord, or it wasn't shock cord. It was 550 paracord, and it stretched, and her backpack was heavy. So then we had to figure out how to get it across. I don't even remember what we done. I had to go back and watch the video. And anyway, the night before, it started pouring the rain. We stopped this campsite and tried to set up a tarp so we could put our tents under it. That didn't work. They put up their tent in a pool of water. Next day, they got up, and it was dry under them. The floor, I guess, was waterproof enough.
Yeah.
And they were using a Big Agnes. And
they probably weren't using a Fly Creek.
No, it wasn't a Fly Creek. It was the one that has the lights inside, I think.
I don't hate Big Agnes. I hate the Big Agnes Fly Creek.
Just that one.
Just that one. That's it. That's it. I love, like, dude, the Tiger Wall is a great tent. And what's the one that Jason has, the freestanding one?
Big Agnes. I can't remember. It's one of their most popular ones.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't hate Big Agnes. I don't hate Big Agnes at all. I've actually got several of their sleeping pads.
I like Big Agnes, but I don't know if I own much of their stuff.
Well, you're not a very good YouTuber then.
Is it the Copper Spur?
Copper Spur, yeah, that's it. The Copper Spur.
Okay, all right. Yeah, the Tiger Wall, I think, is what my friends were using. That's got some vertical walls to it.
Yeah. Now, don't you have a Sea to Summit tent that's a freestanding?
Yeah, it's the Telos TR2, but it's pretty expensive. I think it's around $500. I mean,
that's a good tent, though. That's a good tent.
It's a good tent, but I don't think it's the lightest. But
I think the Copper Spur is one of the lightest, like, freestanding tents. Although Z-Pax has a freestanding tent now. It's expensive, but it's pretty lightweight.
But you can do some of their tents. If you buy the poles, they're freestanding.
Yeah, well, they've got one that's designed with freestanding poles.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't know what that one's called. See, I was looking on their website here. No, I don't. Oh, Duplex Freestanding Flex Kit. No, that's not it. It's $150 for their flex kit, and you can have their duplex freestanding.
Yeah, there's freestanding a flex kit. There's one in here, though. Let me see if I can find it, because I know they have one that's just made that way. Maybe they got rid of it.
Maybe.
Maybe they didn't sell enough.
11.4 ounces more if you want to add the poles.
Yeah, it's actually not bad, really.
No, that's not too bad.
No, not bad at all. So, Jeremiah, let's talk the best tent spot you've ever had.
Dude, I'll tell you probably my favorite, even though it was real dewy and, like, my head and feet got wet. We were in Colorado, and I remember we made it up to this pass. We camped the night before there at this, I don't know, it's like a lake that's just made from the runoff of the snow melt in the Rockies, basically, or this was Holy Cross Wilderness. But we stayed there. We went the next day, made it to a pass and couldn't come back, or we couldn't make it across the pass. So we had to turn around and come back and camp at the same spot again. And dude, this lake that was made of snow melt, it's there year round. You have to imagine this, or you can go watch my video of the Holy Cross Wilderness that I did. You have the lake, fish swimming around. You have the snow melting, making waterfalls in the distance in these mountains that are 13 to 15,000 feet high. You're camping at 12, 13,000 feet. You have these pine trees all around you and your tent spot right there at the edge of the lake with a fire ring. I mean, that was one of the best tent spots I've ever had. And to beat it all, there was a 5-star poop spot not too far away.
Ah, no, that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's five real stars. Nice.
What would you say your favorite setup is?
It was when I was doing the Sheltoy Trace. There was this really cool overlook one night when I stopped hiking. And actually, I take it back. That wasn't the best one. There was a better one.
Oh, it gets better.
There was a better one. So this one day I was hiking. I was doing this section by myself. And I think I had, I want to say 15 to 20, and this is not an exaggeration, 15 to 20 water crossings that day. Because it just, you crisscross this creek the entire time. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. At one point, you're walking through the creek. But I come up the hill a little bit and come around this corner, and it looks like an oasis. So there's a campsite with a giant fire pit, like a built fire pit in it. A great spot for my tent and the creek that just flowed right by the campsite and it had a little tiny waterfall on it. So the whole night was listening to this waterfall and, like, I don't know, it just looked like something out of a movie, like those fake campsites that don't look real.
Yeah.
It was like that. It couldn't possibly be real, but it was. And I remember just sitting there that night thinking to myself, this is the life. You know, it's like I was in a crappy mood. My feet were soaked. And I don't know about you, but when you were on the long trail, but I struggled with blisters when I was on the Sheltoey because of so much water walking, you know, and my feet would be all wrinkled up at the end of every single day. And man, when I came into that one spot and it just opened up and it was just like this little oasis in the middle of nowhere, that was really cool.
It's one of the really best. Cool.
It is. It is. I mean, I've hiked. I was going to say a spot where I was on a cliff and I was overlooking, you know, this beautiful view and all that stuff. But now that I thought back on it, man, just being able to like hear that water running all night. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to get water, it was right there. You know what I mean? And there was nobody else around. That's the thing about the Sheltowee. So few people actually hike that whole trail. Man, you get some really quiet nights, which is nice.
I was going to ask you before we wrap here. I had a poll that I put on the last episode.
Ooh, should I look it up?
Yeah, I have it. I have it pulled up here, and I can share with you the results. Now, the name of this episode is 205 Poop Painting Rocks, Drinking Poop Rinse Water with David Gray. This is last week's episode.
You know, I heard rumors that I should probably go back and re-listen to that because somebody said it got a little off the rails while I was gone.
Oh, it went off the rails, man, because I was producing and co-hosting. And you're such a better producer than I am. I mean, look at how professional you've been tonight. You all need to check it out on YouTube so you can see all these websites and pictures and everything that John's been doing. Yes, so we had 12 people voted in. Now, you still have time to give your opinion here. There's 23 days left on the poll that I set. The question is, can you drink water from the same bottle you use with a pocket bidet? So, John, I want to hear which do you identify with here. Your options are, of course, are you dumb? Oh, it looks like I put a one instead of an exclamation point. I told you, man, I produced the show. The second option, definitely not. Gross. Nobody voted for what's a pocket bidet.
So that means everybody knows what that is.
Well, everybody, yeah, everybody that voted. And then the last option I put is why. Just why.
Why?
Yeah, and surprisingly, 16.7% of people picked that option. But which option do you identify most with, John?
I mean, of course. Are you dumb? Like, if you're using it the right way, you have nothing to worry about.
Oh, you are sticking with 50% of our vote.
Yeah, I mean, if you're using it correctly, it's not like you're sitting it directly underneath your thing where everything's dripping on it. You're coming at an angle. And the splash isn't going to hit backwards. You're fine.
Okay, click the refresh button on that tab, John. This is on, if anybody wants to vote, it's on the Spotify.
Oh, it just jumped to 53.8%.
Yes, we had another voter, and I assume that it was Salmon Outdoors because he literally wrote, refresh Jeremiah.
I mean, if you know how to use a pocket bidet, you got nothing to worry about.
Well, you know, I was talking to Mr. Backpacking with Jason, sir, and he is not a bidet user.
Right.
So he definitely did not identify with the, yes, you can 100% use the same the same bottle. You know,
so he lives in fear is what you're saying.
He lives in so much fear that he refuses to even try the pocket bidet. Which for those that don't know, which apparently is nobody, you just stick it in the top of your bottle and you can squirt your bum with it or you can use it to rinse your mouth if you want. I've never used the bidet to rinse my mouth out, but I guess theoretically one could.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand like the fear of doing that. I mean.
Well, there could be fecal matter on your bottle that you're drinking from.
But it's not going to be like where you drink from.
You know, you do stick the pocket bidet part into the top of the bottle.
I guess. I think Justin Hick brought up a good point one time. Like the way he cleans himself when he goes to do the two, he actually just puts soap on his hands and just washes the whole thing out with his hands and then washes his hands and he's done. And people think that's gross. And they're like, that's disgusting. And he's like, I would love to get something that measures germs. Uh-huh. To show my hands when I'm done and your hands when you're done. with your hand sanitizer. You know, like, I think people just, they're all right. People be all right. They're too
when you were in school, Did they do the little experiment with you where they squirt the stuff on your hands, then you got to go wash them, and then they show it under a light, and you can see how good of a job you done?
Oh yeah,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think we should do that. I think we should do that. Like, let Justin Hick, and then the average backpacker that just does hand sanitizer. That's what I'm saying. Zach Miller, humanity is being punished with bidets. Listen, man. Don't bust on it unless you've tried it.
That's right.
It's refreshing. And yes, Doc Watson, I am one of those people that has icons filling my desktop.
Yeah, you're getting some hate in the comments on your unorganized desktop.
But. Well, there's just, it's one of those things of that's all screenshots for things that we use on this podcast. And it changes every 2 weeks. So all of those will be gone like tomorrow. And then there'll be a whole new set of them that pop up. So
you don't have to defend yourself to me, John.
Oh, I'm not defending. It's fact.
This man coming in strong on the desktop.
Yeah. Okay. So he says, best of both worlds. Use hand sanitizer in your pocket bidet.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine?
I don't want to try that.
No, that sounds awful.
I feel like that just feels like a chafe, like, creator somehow. Well, yeah.
And a burn creator.
Oh, yeah. I don't want that alcohol up in there. No, thank you. Outdoors. Salmon Outdoors bringing the controversial topics there.
We somehow, even though we had a tinting episode, found a way to wrap up with poop. I'm glad I got to share my poll. Thank you for everyone for voting.
That's true.
And everybody should continue to vote.
Yes. Yes. I'm thinking, like maybe that should be our next poll.
What
should you, put hand sanitizer in your pocket bidet?
Well, I think
in the bottle for your pocket bidet.
I think what that poll would say, an overwhelming, terrible time.
No, don't do it. Look, what is this guy? Zach Miller's really upset. Bidet water bottle drinking is a mortal sin. I mean, and we're not even showing like a fifth of the comments that he's been leaving over this. I mean, he is really anti-bidet drinking.
Derwin off the rails is out. He said,
yep. Go to bed.
That's what I'm going to do too.
It's all good. It's all good. But either way, man, it's been good talking tonight. I really, if anybody has any idea of some other tents that we haven't thought about, is it possible for us to put a poll up and people put tents on there?
Yeah, actually, I can put a thing on there to let them comment so they don't have to decide which is best or anything. They can do like, they can comment their own.
Well, let's do that.
If YouTube and Spotify.
Yeah, if you guys have a tent that we didn't talk about tonight that you think we need to bring up in the future, throw that on there. Comment on that. We'd like to know the tents that you guys like to use that maybe we missed out on. I know that the Hyperlite Mountain Gear tents are pretty popular too. And there's some other ones. But if you guys have any good ones, throw them out there for us. We would love to talk about whatever it is you want us to talk about. Because honestly, sometimes we're having trouble thinking of things to talk about.
Oh, I love talking. I'll talk about anything.
You'll talk about anything. Anything. So for myself and Jeremiah, thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will catch you on the next one.
And adios, folks.